Praise the Lord. What an awesome night. My heart is good. I just thought I'd let you know that. And I just want to put something on record. As you all know, I've been going through some extensive testing, and I've had some extensive damage in my brain. A lot of evidence of things going on, and we're just going to see how it all turns out. I have little memory lapses once in a while, but when it comes to his word, he's sharper than the greatest arrow. Amen? But I want to tell you something that really blessed me while I was connecting with these four specialists. One was a hemoglobinist, a blood doctor. One was a brain doctor, a neurologist. One was a heart doctor and the Anchorage Heart Institute, and one is a neurologist. I think all four of them are high, in the highest levels in some cases, these doctors. And I don't know how I'm blessed to be connected with some. Some I know exactly why I was connected, because I have some dear friends that were very concerned for me and helped me get to that place. But it took a while. And it took a while to find out I'd been having strokes since 2006, and nobody seemed to do anything about it. I just kept slipping through the cracks, and that was, you know, the final analysis of the neurologist when I went and saw him last week, on the 17th, actually. And that's when everything started going really fast, and things were moving really fast. In the meanwhile, I'm trying to find a good neurologist. And there's some funnies about that. Someday I may be able to share about it, but there were not some funny things. It was very hard. But I want to tell you, these doctors that I'm seeing are not saying that they're going to shut me down. They're saying, we're going to get you well so you can get back out there in the world and do what you're called to do. And I remember the neurologist. I never met her before, and I walked in, and I sat down, and I didn't know if it was going to be the same game, the same excuses, the same tests, you know, the same non-answers. We don't know what's wrong. And the first thing that came out of her mouth, I had Liz Stinson with me, and I took Liz to every appointment. I just needed a second pair of ears. And she just said, I just want to tell you, I don't care what it is. I don't care who says it. I'm here for you, and I want to tell you, if you need a referral for anything, I don't care if your uncle's grandmother says you need to have this test. She says, I'm going to do it for you, because we need to get you back doing ministry. And she says, and you're going to see a blood doctor. You're going to see one of the best in the state. And she says, I'm going to call a favor on her. And she got up and walked out of the room because she said, you need some blood work. Nobody had did any blood work on me. I mean, it was a really weird situation, and I have to say I was part of the problem because I kept leaving the state. But nothing was happening. I mean, we were going no direction, not getting any appointments, not knowing which direction to go. So I was still doing the ministry, letting God take care of me. And miracle after miracle, you guys. So anyway, I can hear this doctor talking on the phone to this other doctor, and she says, look, you need to do me a favor. You need to see this lady. She's a Christian. I've heard she travels all over the world. She's even doing a conference this weekend, and she says, you know what? We got to get her right. Can I get her in to see you? And I was in that office at 1 o'clock. That was in the morning, and at 1 o'clock, I was in that blood doctor's office. And I'm in there, and while I'm in there, she walks in, and my neurologist calls and says, Nancy, we just got the records back. Well, I'd already talked to my very personal doctor friend who'd already looked at my records already, so he didn't even have to tell me. I saw it, because just in 2 weeks, I had so many more strokes. And I saw it, and I saw what I saw in the neurologist's office and what the next set of MRIs were, and I just walked out of the room. I couldn't bear it anymore. I didn't know what was going on, but I couldn't bear it anymore, and I didn't want to stay in that room, and I didn't want to have to be in there while my friends were looking at those MRIs. And I walked out there, and I just looked out the window, and I said, Lord, you are my strength. and you call me to do what I'm doing, and I'll do whatever you ask. But I'll tell you what, I've got a grand group of women and men that can carry this conference on. They don't need me, but they need you. That's what I was doing. And Larry came out, and he started to explain to me what he could see, the showers of what had taken place. And all I can remember is in that doctor's office, that doctor the next day wants to tell me what Larry had already showed me. And he said, Nancy, and he's little, 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 and I said, I'm in this hematologist just came in and wants to talk to me, and he says, let me talk to her. I mean, it was like boom, 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 and the next thing I know, they're putting shots in my belly as quick as they can because they've got to get my blood thinned immediately because I'm having these strokes. But it again, she shakes my hand and she says, what we're going to do is get you back in shape to get back out on the road and do what you're called to do. So I'm saying all this not for you to feel sorry for me, but definitely to pray for me. And yeah, if he has to shut me down for a little while for Sarah and I to get this book finished that we started a couple years ago when she had a bad burn and I've been on this trip of whatever's been going on, we're going to get it finished. And that's the house boss that said, I need to get this done, and that's my husband. He said, please take this summer off and finish your book. Nancy, if anything happens to you and you don't finish that book, he said, I'll never forgive myself. So there it is. Amen? And I'll tell you what, if God's got something on your life going on and he's called you, you're not finished and I'm not finished. Amen? I don't know what's going on in your lives, but I know that I have a lot of friends right now that are going through tough times, whether it's finances, whether it's health, whether it's their children. I mean, everybody has problems. It's life. But the word says to hold on to him and don't let go. And I'm not letting go, no matter what. However it turns out, it's his plan. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. And these doctors are all saying they can't figure it out. They're amazed. I'm totally out of the realm, and it's because God is in control. Amen? Those blood clots hit my brain, they explode, so they can't cause me to have a bad stroke. Amen? Because whatever I have left in there, we're going to keep it. Amen? And you girls, by the way, we're going to talk about your talk. You know, I have to say this. When Jesus pulled them together and he had something important to say, and I pray I'm just not blowing wind up here, that I have something important to say. When he started talking, sometimes he talked the whole weekend. And they would sit there and they didn't care if they ate. Because you know what? They wanted to come away with him. Because it was going to be wow. Amen? It's going to be wow. If you get convinced, young lady, that what I'm telling is the truth, you'll never be the same. Amen? You know, I think of, where's that little guy? Remember our breakfast this morning? Every word I said was the truth. Amen? Quit fooling around. Amen? Amen? Amen. So, let's start out with what I love to start out with. First of all, I love to start out with the book of Joshua. And, you know, I just gave it away, but I love the picture that Joshua has. We're in the Joshua anointing time right now. Do you believe that? This is our hour. We're the Joshua, what do they call that? The Joshua, what is it? Generation. Amen? And everywhere I go, I will hear that. Before they even hear my message, they'll go, those that are walking in the Lord over 50 years old are part of the Joshua anointing. Isn't that interesting? You're not 50, so just wait. Okay, so, but yet here, this is all the Lord is talking about, is Joshua, Joshua, Joshua. He gave me an outstanding word in your house about Joshua that put all of the part that I'm going to talk about here. I mean, I remember going in the back of your area behind a couch, standing there, and the Lord says, open the Bible. It wasn't even my Bible. I borrowed it. My Bible was across the room. And it was like, holy smoke, so absolutely fitting. I don't claim anything here, people. This is God's word, amen? I try not to exaggerate it, but I want to tell you what he showed me. What he showed me is a man sitting along the bank like this, looking across the water. And I'll tell you, we've been in this position where we don't know what to do. We don't. We can't even imagine it. It's like, what direction do we go? What do we believe? How can I be used? Amen? And there he is, and I will, if I were a betting woman, I would lay every odd, every penny I had, I would lay it on this fact, that Joshua was sitting there along the bank pondering. And listen, I want to tell you something. Here, back in November, I came back from outside, and I had a stroke while I was in Ohio. And I came back, and I went and saw Larry, and I was just going to get an adjustment on my back, and he says, no, 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 you need to go get an MRI. He knew something was wrong. He knew how I was not talking right. I wasn't walking right. He knew something was wrong. I went over and got it done. I went to see him. He didn't want to see me. He said, come back the next day. I knew it wasn't good because I knew he saw it. Well, what he did that night is he went and saw the radiologist, and they walked through, and they started pinpointing all the strokes and counting that I'd had 12. At that point, I've had a lot more since. Anyway, when I went in, I'm telling this story because it was so powerful, and this is God. It can only be God that can do this. Determination. But I remember Larry brought me in, and he put up the screen, and he started explaining to me what was going on, and I just kind of stood there, and tears started going down my eyes. And so they kind of, and I mean, it was upsetting them, too. They were upset. Liz and Larry were upset. And then they kind of ushered me into a room to give me a little more privacy, and I sat down, and I just sobbed. And they were holding me because they thought I was crying for me. I wasn't. You know what I was crying for? Because I knew when I looked at those x-rays that it could only be God that was carrying me. All I could see was the footprints in the sand and only one set. And I'll tell you what I did. It was after that. After that, I went to a Bible bookstore and found a plaque with that poem about walking with one set of footprints, and I put it beside my bed because I knew that it could only be God carrying me through. I had that stroke at the beginning of the conference, and he carried me through, and I did 3 more weeks of ministry. I knew I had the stroke. The girls didn't know, but they knew I was acting funny. I was having a little bit of problem remembering, but I'll tell you, I just kept going forward because I knew the Lord was with me. Now, I'm not any great thing, but I'll tell you, I got a great miracle working God. Amen? But I have to tell you that after Larry left the office, left the room and whatever, then here comes Liz's sister. And she comes in, and she loves me dearly, and I know that she is heart-sickened about this report. And so she's going to give me the pep talk. And she starts telling me how I need to settle down and rest. It's a good time. I need to take care of myself, and I rest. And as she's talking to me, Holy Spirit downloads on me, and all of a sudden, it's like something in my back straightened up, and I began to preach the word that she had not heard yet, and her mouth dropped open. I don't think she knew what to do. I mean, it was like, should I listen to her? Should I stop her? She didn't know what to do with me. But it was the Holy Spirit, because she's one of the people in my life that has to hear it. Amen? Because she's one of the main intercessors in Alaska for me. And she hadn't heard it. Amen? Isn't that the truth? Didn't you walk out of there dumbfounded? He wanted to spank me? But it was God that did that, not me. That had to be the energy of God. That had to be the footprints. And I'm telling you to get out of yourself and get in the things of God and see what God will do for you. He wouldn't let this happen to me unless he was going to use it. It's not going to be wasted. It's not going to come back void. His word is not going to come back void. Amen? The ministry is called Point to Hope Ministries. Don't lose hope. And if you see a little bit diminishing in me, I tell you, don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. The best is yet to come. So let me go back to my brother Joshua, who's on the bank, sitting there, pondering, because I know that he's waiting to see what he's supposed to do. How many of us want to know what we're supposed to do? Okay? He wants to know what he's supposed to do. Because you know what? He's been with Moses for over 40 years. He's been taking care of him. He's been his armor bearer. He's been his protector. He waited at the bottom of the mountain when Moses went up the mountain, got the Ten Commandments and the plan to build the Holy of Holies. Amen? But he did not go in. God did not talk to him. He had not heard God's voice. God was picking certain people that he talked to in that time during the Old Testament. Joshua hadn't heard his voice. You know what Joshua had? A laying on of hands that you're the next leader by Moses that God blessed. And so just imagine yourself on the banks looking across the river thinking, I've got to go over there. That's where the new land is. Okay? That's where I'm going to go. That's where we're going to have victory. That's where God wants me to go. He doesn't want you to stay in your circumstances. Amen? And so what does he do? He's looking, and I can just imagine they're looking back. They're wondering, look at those 3 million people. Joshua's not just sitting on the banks by himself. If he got up and turned around, here's 3 million people. 1 million men and 2 million women and children. There are tents. Their dwellings all lined up. And here's the enemy across the way going, what are they going to do? Did you hear what happened at the Red Sea? Do you know those idiots went around the same mountain for 40 years? Do you think they're going to come over now? We've been sharpening our swords and getting ready for them every year. Every year they never came. Are they coming this year? I bet people are saying that about you. I wonder if they're coming this time. I wonder if they're going to come through. I wonder if they're going to stand up. I wonder if they're going to walk in hope. I wonder if they're going to walk in, are they going to walk in their faith? Are they going to be overcomers? People are watching you, especially if you wear the little cross on your neck. Amen? Don't you imagine those doctors are checking me out? Every one of them asked me the same question. Are you safe at home? All of them. And they snuck it in those questions. All the questions they're asking, they go, are you safe at home? They even asked it when I went in and had that thing down in my heart. They said, are you safe at home? And I went, yes. We're safer than most of you Alaskans. I'm getting ticked off at this. Are you safe at home? No, he doesn't beat me. Just he loves me a lot. Amen? So here he is waiting to hear a sound. And this is the hour. God's got a sound for us. And it's a sound that he said, I want you to hear in 2014. Amen? It's a sound that I'm not going to tell you it all tonight. I'm only going to tell you one part of the sound. I'm going to tell you the three parts tomorrow and the last part on Saturday night. It's going to be like an Oreo cookie. You're going to get the cookie top first. I'm going to give you the cream in the middle, the three, tomorrow night. And I'll give you the last one on Saturday night. And I have an experience you're going to go through. And it's not my idea. Whatever I'm doing, you know that God has lined me out. But you guys are going to be going through a gauntlet on Saturday night. Ooh. I got a big surprise for you Saturday night. You're going to leave changed. Amen? So get ready. I promise you, you won't go home the same. But we are going to go through a gauntlet. And if you're sincere, God's going to be sincere with you. If you're going to play games, you'll have to wait till your next gauntlet. Amen? But the best is yet to come. Say that with me. The best is yet to come. Okay. So let's go back to Joshua and Let me read to you something that is just, to me, so profound that leaps out at me constantly. Joshua 1. That's one of Joshua 1 is one of my favorite books of the Bible, or chapters in the Bible. So, let's start out with just this picture of him on the bank, him waiting to see what he's got to do. And this is what it says. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. I've always, since the first time I read that, always stopped. And I thought, God, who do you think you're talking to? Moses is dead? Do you know that if anybody in the world that knew he was dead, it would be Joshua? So it's like, hey, Joshua, Moses is dead. Duh. By the way, duh in Russian is yes. Did you know that? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. But it proves the point that was the first time that Joshua heard God's voice. He announced something that would be relative to Joshua. Moses is dead. Does this make sense? This is powerful. And this is the first time, I believe, that it's documented that Joshua got to hear his voice. And listen to what he says to him. He says, now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. He starts laying out the plans. And see, that's what God is trying to do, is get us to listen. Do you see this picture over here? Anybody come up and ever really look at it, this little picture up here? I went to a church down in Georgia, and the church pretty much sponsors the college students. And they've been kind of following me twice a year in different places and try to get me into places. And that's where I went, was to speak. And there was a woman there and her husband, and she was so moved by the message, she went home and painted this picture. And if you look at the picture, it just looks like a tree with branches. But if you really look at it, she wrote the word listen right here. So later, when you come up, you'll see that word listen. And I am going to prophesy over you right now that you are, for the rest of this year, going to hear that tag word, listen, in everything you're doing. You're going to hear it in your workplace. You're going to hear it in your home. You're going to hear your family say, listen, listen, listen. I think the other day when Sarah and I first got back together again, when I got back up here, I mean, we were sitting and talking. I bet she said, listen, 15 times to me. I said, do you know how many times you've said, listen to me? That's what I'm talking about. God is saying, listen. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what she's saying. Listen to what he's saying. Listen to what's going on. Listen to the news. Don't get absorbed in it and addicted to it, but listen to it. It's talking to us. It's declaring. It's prophesying this hour. Pay attention. Amen? And you'll make it. Don't pay attention and act naive and stupid and get caught in it. I'm guaranteeing you, you're going to go, what is going on? Be prepared. Listen. Amen? Okay. So here he is. He says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I am giving you. I want to declare that to you tonight, that everywhere, if you're listening to me, you're listening to this message, what God is saying is everywhere you set the soles of your feet, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you Jordans in your life to cross over, if you're willing. Just like Patty was sharing, she was asked to do something and go somewhere, and she didn't think she was prepared, but God had her heart prepared. He had her mind prepared. Amen? He knew she could do it. And when he has a setup and he has his favor, and this is an hour of favor for his Christians, and if you want to walk in his favor, you just tell him, I trust you, Lord, I'll do whatever you say. And you watch the doors open up. You interview any of my close friends, and you'll go, man, she's got so much favor. And I do. And I'm grateful for everything, mostly my friends. Amen? I love my friends. When I lose one, it is the most hardest thing in my heart. I can't tell you, isn't it? It's devastating to me. Amen? It's devastating because God says, I want not one to be lost. And that's in me. Is that in you? Does it matter? Or do you walk away and that's the end of the story? He goes on in several other places and he says things like, give me a minute. Be bold and courageous. Be strong and courageous. In that chapter alone, he says it four times, but the third time he says, I command you to be strong and courageous. Listen, if you're listening to what I'm saying and you're hearing God say that, you're going to make it. You're going to make it no matter what kind of cast is on you from this world. God says you're going to make it and you're going to make it with flying colors. Amen? How many believe that's the truth? I need to hear some amens. Do you believe this? Amen? I mean, Patton has nothing on me. You guys listen to me. We're going to battle and we're going to win. Amen? And our weapon is the Word of God. That's it. Do you believe it? Yes. Amen. Amen. So, in saying that, I'm going to give you your first word. When I was in that hotel, leaving across, and by the way, Debbie was a witness to this. She watched me going through this. And I was telling her, God is talking to me. He's giving me the word, wasn't I? I didn't know what she was thinking. We weren't really conversing a whole lot, but he was talking to me. She went to get the car. She got me. She took me to the airport. The Lord was talking to me the whole time. I was writing down what he was saying. And he said, Nancy, I want you guys to write this down. Listen and write it down, because I'm going to try to remember it the way he said it to me. The first thing he said to me is he said, Nancy, you're going to hear these four things. Number one, you're going to hear that this is the feast, the year of the Feast of the Trumpets. And he said, that's true. He said, secondly, you're going to hear that this is the year of the number four that opens doors. God's giving you an open heaven if you believe it and walk into it. And God said, that is true. Number three is he says, this is a year of salvation and, is it redemption or deliverance? Redemption. Salvation and redemption. He said, Nancy, that's true too for 2014. He said, but this is the fourth word. And he said, this is my word. This is the year of the sound of the Lord. And if there's ever a time you're going to hear God talk, it's this year. Listen. Amen? That's what he said at first. Then he said, I'm going to give you your first word. He said, I'm going to give you the word alliance. And I said, alliance. And he goes, well, what comes to your mind when you think of alliance? And I thought of the Alliance Church in Alaska. I've spoken a couple Alliance churches. In fact, I did a little mini retreat for some Alliance ladies. Probably was too wild for them. But I also know another definition of alliance. Because ever since I was about a sophomore in high school, I had a passion of history. And I loved to study wars. Wars of all kinds. I was intrigued by it as I got older, as I became a Christian. I realized why I was intrigued. I always wanted to know strategy. I always had that Nancy Drew type personality. I always liked, even when Henry and I would watch movies, he just would love to watch me watch a movie, especially a suspense movie, he'd love to watch me watch it and figure it out before it was over. Because I researched and I studied so much and I watched movies and I didn't even realize I was doing it. I didn't even know to define that that's who I am. But it was because I wanted to know this. Why was there a war? Was God on this side or this side? What was the true strategy? What if they would have done this instead of this? And I can give you tons of examples and share lots of history that I know. And I thought this was amazing that God would use this word alliance, because I said, I know what alliance is. It's when countries come together that don't usually get along, but they come together to form an alliance to come against a bad country and stop what they're doing. It can also work the other way. And he said, that's right. And I was getting ready to share that at my friend back here from South Carolina. And I went to the back of the room, and the Lord says, Nancy, go to Joshua chapter 10. Now, some of you have been to my conferences, and you've heard some of the words that the Lord has given me, and I'm going to remind you that last year, in the year before last, we have done some incredible traveling. In the year before that, we've been to almost 49 countries in just the last couple of years. We prayed the borders of America. We went down the eastern border with a team. We went down the western border. We went across the southern border. And then last summer, we went across the northern border. Everywhere I went, God spoke to me. He told me what was on his mind. It was amazing. And on top of all that, he said, and I want you to go to Israel and pray the borders of Israel. And keep this in mind. Before you pray for the peace of Israel, you need to learn how to pray. And this is America. You need to know how to pray for America. Isn't that powerful? And it was a very interesting journey and very educational. And where I should have been the most scared because of what happened on the western border with me and the awakening he gave me about his thoughts and feelings about America, by the time I did the southern border, which should have put the willies in me, we weren't scared because we were meeting Satan. And we were going to be introduced to the five spirits over America that are prevailing over America, messing with us, messing with our families, messing with our children, messing with our government, messing with our churches. Amen? And so, anyway, then he says, go to Israel. And I went to Israel, and it was very exciting to go over there and do that. I thought it was going to be awesome. I knew that God was going to tell me some things, but I'll tell you, I was almost in mourning. I was so sad, I couldn't believe it. Our driver says, hey, I want to take you to Elijah's Cave. I said, I don't want to go to Elijah's Cave. I want to pray the borders. I don't know how much time it's going to take. I don't know what God's going to do, so I'm not here on a fun trip. I'm never usually on a fun trip when I'm traveling. All of the ones that travel with me know that. It is all business. Anyway, he kept saying, I think you're supposed to go to Elijah's Cave. And, you know, Sarah was open, whether we went, whether we didn't go, it was up to me. I kept telling the guy, no, I don't want to go. But I had this prevailing sadness over me like somebody died. And I just kept getting sadder and sadder. We get up to the one area, maybe it was about Haifa, I'm not sure, which is on the western border, going up north toward, Lebanon. That's where we're going, is up to that north point. And I finally said, you know, he kept saying, I think it's real close to here, we could go to it. Finally I said, okay, I'll go. Now this guide is basically like a friend of the family now, because I've gone over there 8 times and Henry's met him, and Henry calls him and he says, this is what Nancy has to do, this is the places she has to go, it is her call, but I want you to treat her like you would treat your own wife. He said, I want you to protect her and take her where she needs to go and listen to what she needs to do. So I said, okay. So Sarah and I, it was funny because the guy didn't really know where it was. We're flagging down people on the road, up on the streets, up in the hills. I mean, wasn't it ridiculous? And I'm thinking, man, this is just killing time. I was anxious to get done, which I would have had plenty of time to do, because that state is smaller than New Jersey. But I didn't know what God was going to require. I never know. And so we get up there, we climb the rocks, we go into the cave, and we go over to the one side. It's split up, men and women. And I'm over on the women's side, and of course, I love books. Everybody knows I love books. And I'm looking at all these old books, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know, I can't put one in my pocket, but those are awesome books. And she was off over looking at another area, and all of a sudden, I heard this voice say, come to the mouth of the cave. Lord, that is just really corny. That's what I said. Lord, that is really corny. If that's you yanking my chain. Pretty soon he said again, Nancy, come to the mouth of the cave. And I knew he was serious. About that time, you know, I was looking around to see if our guide had come over on our side, but I seen him start to come around the corner, and he was coming on our side. And I said, just a minute. I went out to the mouth of the cave. I'm not lying. I'm not exaggerating. This is what happened. I walked out, and I was standing there, and he said, Nancy, when you go back, you tell them. I'm not, you know, I need to remember this. You remember how it was? I'm not in the mountains. I'm not in the storms. He said it a little bit like he said it in the Bible, but it was a little bit different for us today. But what he underscored was, I'm not in the mountain of your circumstances. I am not in the mountain of your circumstances. I'm in the solutions of your life. Isn't that powerful? I'm in the solutions of your life. And I mean, that's what I particularly remember. And I went, wow. I was so glad I went up there. It was very powerful. And I knew it was very authentic. You know, it's like the Lord just gives me the spirit to know when I go in these places and they're, you know, whether it's commercialism or whatever, when I go in it and it's commercialism, it's like nothing moves on my heart. I just know it's just commercialism. Then I go in places and, I mean, I can't even stand up. My legs buckle underneath me. I mean, the anointing is so strong, and God has a message there. Amen? So anyway, in that, we went on up to Lebanon. And we went right on the border where the military base is. You can see right out over the water the buoys and Israel's battleship, you know, guarding that border. You know, they've got their military missiles aimed right toward Haifa and Tel Aviv. And after we left, they did shoot some off right the next day. They were shooting them from the Gaza Strip, from up there across the Lebanon border. We had a Coke there. We went on across all the way over to right below Syria, right there at the, what is that other place? The Golden Heights, which is very dangerous at this time of the year. We went there, went to Caesarea Philippi, went up to that place, which was the very first place Jesus took his disciples. He separated them, took them over there, up there, and he said, you know, Peter, what do they call me? And that was the story about the place that was the place where they worshiped the god Pan, which the word derived from panic in America, the god Pan, which they worship, and they did idol worshiping and they did human sacrifices there. And that's where Jesus took the disciples the first time and says, who do they say that I am? And then he says, and on this rock I'll build my first church. And that was really the first church that was built in Israel, was in Caesarea Philippi. And that old church, the ruins, are still there back in the background. It's very in front of it. And it's a very interesting thing that unless you go over there and walk it and see it and get into the Hebrew history, you really don't know those things are going on. And so we were there, then we came down, we were on one side of the Galilean Sea, then we went back around the other side, we got down to Jericho, and then we shot back up to Jerusalem, and then went on over back to Tel Aviv. That's where we were staying, and the next morning we turned around, headed out, went back over past Jerusalem, Jericho, we went on down to the Dead Sea, we went by all those places along the Dead Sea, and went all the way down to where Sodom and Gomorrah, where the Sabor is. We came on up the other side, and we went right on alongside the Gaza Strip, far enough away that we weren't going to get hurt or whatever, but we were in dangerous places. But we got there safely, went on into Joppa, went on back to Tel Aviv. But three quarters of the way through this trip, 3/4 of the way this trip. I mean, I know that Sarah knew there was something wrong with me because I just was as sad as a person could be. And I'm not normally sad, am I, girls? I was so sad. I was like I was in mourning. I was in grief. I thought I was letting God down. I'm thinking to myself, what is wrong? I'm telling Sarah, something's wrong. You know, something's wrong in my heart. It's so heavy. I don't know if I'm not praying right. I don't know if I'm missing it. I don't know what's wrong with me. And then the Lord said, I know what's wrong with you. You're grieving for me. Because my people won't accept my son. That's what he said. That's why they're in trouble. And that's why he says, if you don't know how to pray for America, you're never going to know how to pray for Israel. Because where America is going today is they're backing up and backing up and backing up. And they're getting away from their faith and they're getting away from their truth. And I'll tell you, we're so worried about our borders. Don't be worried about our borders. Worry about who's inside this country and are they standing for God? Do they believe in Jesus Christ, our foundation? Amen? And that is the truth. And so if you go over to Israel and they got all these problems, well, if you're a Christian and you believe the word for its accuracy, then you know what the problem is. And that's why we need to know how to truly pray. You know why we're condensing and watering down and not making it clear to our children about the power of God, walking the form of godliness and denying the power within. No wonder we're having problems. Our kids go to college, and I mean, unless they've got a good foundation, they're going to be ripped to shreds by those unbelievers. Amen? I know some young men lately that I've seen make a stand, and I am proud of them, but I'll tell you, it's very unusual. I go down to those colleges and talk to those kids from the different colleges down in Georgia and South Carolina, and they're just getting beat up. And why are they getting beat up? They go to those conservative churches, and they don't know what the power of God is.
Right.
We're a little spoiled in Alaska. We know what the power of God is. I know a secret about Alaska. I remember U.S. World Report did a report on the most concentrated charismatic Christians in America per capita are in Alaska.
Amen.
I used to carry that around with me for a while. Now, I know I talk a lot, but isn't this interesting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Isn't it powerful?
Amen.
But we've got to press in. We've got to press in and not let anything be taken away from us because it's being taken away everywhere else. Amen? You ask my Georgia friends. You ask my friends from Ohio or different places. Listen, I was down there during all the voting, and it's not that I want to get into who you voted for, but I cannot believe what I was reading, what they were allowing that was contrary, vividly contrary to the Word of God. And that's what I have a problem with. It's like, okay, why do I bother? I bother because I love the Lord, and I know where I'm going. I've been there. I know what it looks like. I will tell you Saturday night about it. Amen? More than I've ever shared. Amen? Amen. So, I'm going to go back. I mean, that was a little nugget, wasn't it? I want to go back to chapter 10, and I just want to explain this. About alliance and why alliance is so important and who you are aligning yourself up with. Amen? Right now, you guys all formed an alliance to be here in this facility with me tonight. You come from all different backgrounds. All different backgrounds. Different states. Different religions. Amen? We're all supposed to be one religion, but we have all these different backgrounds. But we have set aside our doctrine, our theology, and we're sitting in one room. Why? Because God said, I want you to go and listen.
Amen?
Amen? I want you to listen. So listen to this story that the Lord gave me. And like I said, I got it at her house. I was sitting back there, and he said, this is the best example I can give you. It's out of your favorite book. And this story is about what happened. It's five bad kings across the Jordan. This is chapter 10. Across the Jordan, decide they cannot take this battling with the Israelites. And the Israelites have befriended some of the kings, and they formed alliances, and so they want to put them out. So these five bad kings who don't, and you read chapter 10, this is where the sun stayed up for a long time till the war was over. This is the same place in the Bible where God gave them hail. You know the story about the hail that came down? And it killed more of the enemy than the Israelites killed with the sword. Because God intervened. Amen? This is really exciting. This is in this chapter 10. But what I want to share with you that we need to remember, no matter where we're at, what we're doing, and thank you, you are really paying attention to me. What is really neat is these five kings get together, and they think that they're going to overcome the Israelites, right? They already crashed one king. He sends a group to Joshua and says, you know, we've partnered with you. Are you going to help us? And you know what Joshua did? Because he had already learned his naughty lesson back in the story about Ai, and he decided he was going to talk to God before he made any of his own decisions anymore. He was going to consult with God. He consulted with God. He turned to the children of Israel and his elite army, and he says, do you want to do this battle? Yeah! And they partnered and formed an alliance within their own region, their own country. Amen? So, yeah. So then they go to battle, and there it's ferocious, okay? And like I said, there was a hail that was interesting, and it came to a place that these five bad kings, who don't even get along with themselves, they start seeing the writing on the wall that they're going to lose. So what do? They run up and hide in the cave. They're up here hiding in the cave. Knock, 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 knock. Knocking their knees. They're scared, right? And so one of the groups of the Israelites went and told Joshua, by the way, those five kings are shaking in their boots up in that cave up there in the mountains. And he says, go up there and stone them in till the battle's over. And so they win the battle. Then he says, go up there. There's a reason why I want to finish this story. The whole reason. So they bring him down, and he knocks them around a little bit. Joshua is, you know, he's over probably 80 years old. He's not a young man, by the way. He's over probably 70, 80 years old. But he knocks them around. They're on the ground, and he turns to his generals, and he says, put your foot on their necks. And you know what those generals said? No, I'm scared. These kings had no power. Do you know what? The enemy has no power. You got to know that. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And he said, put your feet on their necks. And they started planting their feet on their necks, and they're going, hey, this is good. This is fun. And that's where you get that scripture, is that the enemy is under our feet. Amen? Amen? Is that good? He is under our feet. We just got to trust the Lord and be bold and be strong and courageous, just like God said to Joshua, a type and shadow of Jesus. Amen? Amen? Amen. And then what he did is he had him pick those guys up, and I guess he stabbed them all and killed them. Then he said, hang him up on a rod. Hung him up on the rod all day. And then he says, now, take him up there and put him in that cave that they were hiding in. Stone it over. And they claim in the scriptures, even today, that those five kings are still stoned up in that place from that event. Amen? Amen? Amen. God is not playing games. He's not messing with us. He's given us tools. He's given us the word. He says, listen, and then speak it and see what's going to happen. You want to know why I'm so bold? That's why. It's not because I have a great college education. I don't have room for it. Amen? I don't need it because he has it. Amen? Amen? Though you did scare me when you yelled, Lewis. My heart monitor leaped. It went beep. I went, oh, it does work. Okay, I'm teasing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Alliance. What does that word alliance really mean? And this hour, what God is asking us to do is to draw together and form an alliance, come in agreement, form an alliance in your home. Partner together in your home. Partner in your workplace. Form an alliance. I mean, right now, if we start going across the street instead of being worried about their theology, why don't we cross the street and say, let's just pray together.
Yes.
Amen? He said, form an alliance and it'll make a difference all over America to say, I am for God. I'm not moving. I'm not moving. Amen? I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about a theology. I'm not talking about a church. We're talking about his church. And he says, if we start working together and crossing the street and putting our hands out and saying we're going to work together, and what are we going to work together for? How many times are you going to hear, you can do everything, but don't mention Jesus' name? How many years did that go on in China? Over 100 years, clear back to the Boxer Rebellion. It was against the law to even mention Jesus Christ's name. But God, one day decided to change that and use an American woman to go over there and be the first woman in over 100 years to get up before every region was represented. Sarah was with me. She went in as my armor bearer. They let me bring an armor bearer, all those Chinese people. We were the only two white Americans. And there was one man out of the 20 of those people, out of the 20, there was only one man that said, do you realize she's an American? And so it held it up for a little while, but it was okay because I felt like it should have been a Chinese woman that went in and did that. But they came back and they said, no, it's going to be Nancy. I found out later why, and it was, again, God's favor. But see, if it's God's favor, he set it up, whatever I got to do, to let his favor be seen by the top 20 leaders of the Chinese government. Amen? And do you know my community, Kenai, doesn't even know that? Do you know if my newspaper knew that? They would be on my doorstep and want to know, how the heck did you get in China and preach the gospel at a conference that all 22 regions were represented, Christian women, and promised that there would be no backlash on them, no backlash on me anytime I ever go back over there again. Amen? That can only be God, but it was his favor that began. But his favor and his plan here that you said yes, and his plan here that you said yes, it's got to start somewhere. With Patty, it had to start somewhere, and she cried on the floor and realized she had to say yes, even though she didn't know where she was going, she didn't know what she was really equipped with, but she said yes. And that's what Nancy Haney says, yes. You can say maybe I'm dumber than a doornail, but I don't care. If I say yes, he's gonna do it. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So you need to decide tonight. You need to decide, who do you need to start aligning with? How are we going to make a difference? How are we going to take this country back? One day at a time. One day at a time. Saying the righteous things, reaching out to the people, crossing our denominational lines and pulling together. And I'll tell you, don't sacrifice Jesus' name. He already sacrificed for us. Amen?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to leave you with that first word. Tomorrow night when you come back, I mean, you're going to come tomorrow and listen to workshops. They already know some secrets. Hopefully they'll guard me. But and we'll have a prayer time tomorrow. It's a prayer teaching. It's not like anything that you've ever attended. And we'll have a lot of fun. This is a wow time. And we're going to have a lot of fun. And you're going to cry when this conference is over. Most people do. They don't like to say goodbye. Heck, I did a conference in Georgia. When we were done, the man that let us use his building, I mean, two or three days later, he calls me. I'm in another state, or I think I was up in South Carolina, or at least on the other side. And that guy called me up, and he goes, Nancy, I have never missed people so much. I opened my refrigerator. He said, your food is still there. The presence of God is still here in my home. He said, God told me to go out on the lake. I said, really? He said, yes. So I went out on the rowboat. This isn't the time of year I like to do it, but he said, I took some catfish feed out there to the middle of the lake to just throw it out. I didn't know why he wanted me out there. He said, there wasn't a breath of wind. He said, I got out on the lake, and all of a sudden it was like God turned his boat totally around. I said, really? He said, I didn't understand. It was the weirdest thing. I said, really? He said, I got in the house, and then I walked over to the where we had the conference. He said, I walked over there, and I walked in, and all of a sudden I remembered the words you said. Because I said, Nancy, please come back and do your conference here again next year. It's your place. The house is yours. The building is yours. It's all yours. And I said, brother, if you want me to come back, you're going to have to knock a wall out because we were climbing all over each other. We had no room. Praise God. And he smiled and he says, well, maybe I'll just do that. But he said when he walked into the conference room, he knew exactly what God was saying. Turn the sanctuary around and knock that wall out back there and make that where the staging is. That's what it was. And he said, so are you coming back next July or next January? Are you going to do the conference here in Augusta, just outside of Augusta? So yeah, guys, pray about it. That would be fun, huh? Wasn't that a fun place? Lewis, you didn't get to go, but you would love it. And you would love the guy that hosts us. He's a wonderful man. Loves the Lord. Praise God. So, did you know that? Had I told you about that? Isn't that exciting? Those are the kind of things that are going on. There is so much awesome stuff going on. Tomorrow night, I'm also going to tell you what God said to me on the plane. Not only just those three things that I'm going to share with you in intenseness, but also I'm going to tell you the things that he said about himself and what he said about you. Amen? It's going to be exciting. It's going to be wow. Amen? Now, how I want to close this is you came here for prayer. How many came here for prayer? Okay. What I want to do is I got a team that I think I'll send up here that will pray for you up there. How many came for prophecy? Okay. I want you to come on over here. I'm going to be working in the prophecy area. I got a team that's going to be working over here in the prayer ministry. So I'm going to close it with thinking about the word alliance. I want you to think about Joshua on the banks the first time he heard the Lord. Don't you think it's time you heard the Lord? Amen? And I'll tell you what, while you're over here and you say you've never heard the Lord before, well, I'm telling you, I've had men on their knees crying like babies saying, I've never heard the Lord. And I said, you're going to hear the Lord tonight. And the next thing I know, they're washing my feet with their tears. And I go, what are you doing? And the Lord said, he told me to wash your feet with my tears. He heard the Lord. Amen. And I've had many cases like that. So are you going to listen tonight? Okay. Over here. Healing ministry is over here. Amen. So praise God, and be here tomorrow morning at 8:30 for the prayer time. And then the first workshop starts at 10, two workshops, and then we got them throughout the day. You have to look at the schedule. Don't you think I'm doing pretty good with my memory, you guys? Let's give the Lord a hand. And then tomorrow night, be back here tomorrow night, and I'll share some more. And you guys are good. You think tonight was interesting? Wait till you hear tomorrow night. It's going to be exciting. God's going to put his finger on your nose, and he's going to go, are you listening? That's how exciting it's going to be. Amen? Are you blessed?